I recently visited Melbourne, Australia, for a two-person show with Dane Mitchell. At customs, an officer inspected my luggage and a cardboard parcel that contained framed photographs that I was currying for the exhibition. "What's in here?" he asked. "Framed photos," I replied. "Are they timber?" he inquired about the frames. "Yes, they are wood," I said. Clearing customs, I thought about timber and how the word elicits an image of a tree, in this case maple, being cut down and milled to make frame profiles. Timber is both material and manufacture in one word. Wood, on the other hand, becomes generic, without a lineage, and static. Always wood, before and after. The accuracy of this word choice triggered the memory of my favorite language anecdote, relayed by my friend Sean, who studied abroad in Japan. Early into his semester, Sean was at an informal school get-together talking to a Japanese classmate. After some initial banter, Sean asked, "So, do you like to dance?" To which his new friend replied, quote, "My technology of the disco is ugly." How could anyone say I'm a bad dancer ever again? The images that are playing behind me are images that my mother selected and made into image flashcards over the course of about 15 years. And for this particular presentation, I thought that it would be an opportunity to have the images play and perhaps consider what words could be assigned to using these images as flashcards. And specifically, my mother continues to work as an ESL teacher on a high school level. She assembled these cards specifically to teach adults in an evening ESL program. And in the course of selecting these images, she cut them out from magazines, newspapers, different publications that she received for in relation to teaching, and came up with specific word assignments that could be used for weekly language lessons. In the making of these flashcards, she also removed any copy or text that was used for advertorial purposes or text that was used to supplement an article or contextualize it. In writing about this collection of approximately 400 double-sided image flashcards, I spoke about how my mother became both the art director and the editor so that images could function for her specific usage. But the collection for me becomes very interesting and very relevant to my art practice in terms of figuring out ways in which images and photographs collide with language or connect to language, and more explicitly, how can an image be a stand-in for a particular word or phrase, and what happens when you're working with an image such as this? Is that woman? Is that rollerblader? Is that exercise? What word would you assign? And things get complicated with certain images. But I was interested in the fact that my mother's selection for this image in particular, say this is laundry. It's just as valid as any other image that you could select for laundry. But for her and for that particular week when she was preparing her lesson, that image became the representative image for laundry. I was also interested in the fact that it wasn't her intention for this collection of images that she assembled to become a kind of archive or record of a particular cultural moment. But I find that because she was living and working in a suburb on Long Island, that the materials that she was pulling from and the particular things that she was drawn to become a quite interesting and somewhat perverse record of this particular moment from the early 90s to the early 2000s. And think about the images such as, I think that's, is that Chris Evert? No, Tracy Austin. It's kind of the same. that they become this way of recording a particular cultural moment within their laminated cards. And then also how what her intention was for selecting these particular images or modes of engaging her students. And the students, again, were adults that were predominantly from Central and South America. And I find the images, for the most part, to be very much grounded in and circulating from a kind of network of images that are very middle class or middle class aspiring. And to look back at these sets of images as a kind of middle class within the United States starts to disappear, how I reflect on these particular images and imagine them being circulated and utilized. And so I've begun recently to work with these images, including them in an exhibition this past fall in Seattle, and working with them in different parts, both as their straight flashcards, presenting them on a tabletop in which people can access them and consider them, assign their own words, formulate their own vocabulary, but also to look at them as photographic images and also specific to a particular time period. And in some cases, I've also re-photographed the images or scanned them and presented them on a larger scale where they function more as monoliths in the case of this grocery bag. So I guess that's the last image. Is that right? So I think that there's... oh, no, we're not done yet. I think that there's something to be said about how not only the subjectivity of the particular student or the location of where the image set is installed formulates this point of entry or point of access, or in the case of an installation of these images, do they formulate a sentence? Do they create a particular narrative? What is the structure that they can come together to form? And in my own work that works with similar principles or is interested in this particular collision, the images could be from the everyday and aren't necessarily culled from a particular pop cultural point of reference. But there's something so familiar about these images and the way in which my mother made them. I also feel like I have an affinity with that particular mode of making. Her decisions to mount certain images on these hot pink grounds, or the way in which she would cut images that sometimes feels arbitrary and sometimes feels very considered. And in retrospect, remembering that these images were being constructed around me over the course of a 15-year period that I was at home doing my own thing, and kind of an affinity for understanding the way that these were assembled and considered. But I feel like, you know, there's a particular confusion that feels very productive to think about. If this image set was utilized to teach students English, what would happen if they also made their own vocabulary based on all of the possible readings that an image of a wreath could generate? And what would that companion dictionary of images or dictionary of ideas look like? So thank you.